They are beginning on the Yudgim Lamed Beis, halfway down the Omid, where the lines turn wide. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Kishahanasi Nichnas, when the Nasi entered into the Beis Medrash, the Nasi was the leader of the Jewish people, the most exalted position of all. So when he went into the Beis Medrash, Kala Amohim Dim, all the people there stood up. Zayin Yoishvin would not sit down, Ashaimur Lam Shvu, until he would tell them to sit. Kishahav Bezin Nichnas, when the head of the Bezin comes into the Beis Medrash, Oysum Oyshura Achas Mikan, so they make one row of people on one side of him, Shura Achas Mikan, and one row of people on the other side, and he would walk in between, Achi Yeshu B'Mekoymoy, until he would get to a seat. Kishe Chocham Nichnas, when the Chocham enters into the Beis Medrash, so as he comes in, Echod Oymeid, as he would approach a person, and the way the Shulchan Aruch brings the Halacha, that anybody that was within Dalet Amos in front of the Chocham, so then he would stand up, the Echod Yoishev, and as he would pierce, he would sit down, Achi Yeshu B'Mekoymoy, until the Chocham would get to a seat. The sons of the Chachomim and the students learning in the Beis Medrash is man shirabim tzrichlem, when they are needed by the people, that even though they come late, mafsiin al roshei ha'om, they can, and what it says literally means they can step over the heads of the people, but in other words, they can come in even after everyone is seated. They need to disturb those that are already there to get to the places, but even so, it's mutter. Yotza l'tzoireich, somebody sitting in the Beis Medrash went out because he needed to attend to his needs. He had to relieve himself. Yichnas v'yeshev b'mekoymoy. He's allowed to come back in, disturbing the people that are sitting there to get to his seat. B'nei talmidei chachomim, the sons of talmidei chachomim, shememunin aviyem panes al atzibur, that their fathers have a position of leadership of the community, bizman sheyeshlem das l'shmoya, so when they have their own intelligence to listen to the shir that's being given by their father, Nichnosin v'yoishvin l'fnei aviyem, they can come and sit in front of the father, in front of the whole tzibur, facing the father, achareim klapeyom, and their backs to the people. Bizman she'einlam das l'shmaya, but if they don't have the ability themselves to listen to the shir, so nichnosin v'yoishvin l'fnei aviyem, they come and sit in front of their fathers, and this is out the kavod of the father, but u'pneim klapeyom, they sit facing the people. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik goimer, not only in the Beis Medrash was this kavod given to the panes, but after Beis Hamishta, but even in a place of a party, a place of a meal, oisim oisom snifim, they make the children of these panosim, they make them attachments to the father, which means that out of honor to the panes, his children are seated next to him. We go back and analyze some of the things mentioned in the Braisa. Omar mar yotza l'tzoyrech, if he went out to relieve himself. Nichnas Yeshu B'Mekoymoy, he's allowed to go sit in his seat. Omar apop olayomru elu l'ktanim. That was only said if he has to go out to urinate, because that's beyond his control, and therefore he has to get up so he can go back to the Beis Medrash to his seat. Avol l'gedoylem, but if he had to go out to move his bowels, loy, he's not allowed to. It's not an oinus. He should have realized it in advance. Havol l'livdoyg nafshe meikara. He should have seen to take care of his needs before he went into the Beis Medrash. And therefore, if he now goes out, he is not allowed to disturb the people to get back to his seat. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, lo'oylo milmad odom atzmai, a person should train himself, la'hashkim la'ariv, to take care of his needs early in the morning and at night, kadesh lo yisrachik, in order that he should not have to distance himself to do so. As Rashi explains, if someone goes to the bathroom in the middle of the day, he has to go away some distance in order that no one should see him. Doing it early in the morning or at night allows him to go to the bathroom without having to move away. However, the Gemara says, "Ha'idno d'chol sha'alma," but today that people are weaker, "afilu l'gedoylam nami," so since they are weaker and it's harder for them to control themselves, so even if he gets up in the middle of the Beis Medrash and goes out to g'doylam, he's also allowed to return. The beloved Rav Tzadik Omer, after Beis Hamishta, even in the place where a party is made, oisim oisim snifim, they make the sons of the Parnes into an attachment to the father. So Omar Rava, what does this mean? B'chai Aviyem, that's only as long as the Parnes himself is alive, and B'fnei Aviyem, and it's only when the Parnes is sitting there. So since this is a done out of covet to the Parnes, so when he's there, his son is seated next to him. Omar Rabbi Yochanan b'mei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishnes Mishnezu. It was in the days of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that the previous Braisa, which talked about how the people stand up when the Nasi comes in, and how they stand up when the Av Bezin comes in. So it was in the days of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that that Braisa was taught. what were the events that led Rav Shimon Gamliel to institute and to make up this takana? The Gemara describes the situation. Rav Shimon Gamliel was the Nasi, Rav Meir was the Chacham, and Rav Nosson was the Avbezin. So Kihavi Rav Shimon Gamliel Hotom, when Rav Shimon Gamliel would be in the Beis Medrash, Havi Kaimaku Alma Mikameh, everyone would rise in front of him. But Kihavi Aili Rav Meir Rav Nosson, but when Rav Meir Rav Nosson went in, even though they were the Avbezin and the Chacham, also Havi Kaimaku Alma Mikameh, everyone would get up in front of them. Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, like boy, when the heavy akeira being the wheel of the do, shouldn't there be some difference between my position and their position? So tikkun hamas nisa. So he instituted that which the Braisa taught, that there should be a difference of the way the people stand in front of the nasi and the way they stand in front of the chacham and the abbezim. Ha'hu yoyimol lehavir adneiv rav nosan hosam. That day, the day that Rav Shimon Gamliel instituted this new procedure, Rav Meir and Rav Nosan were not in the Beis Medrash. The Mochar Kiyotsu, the next day when they came, Chazu they saw the way Komu Mikamayu Kidirigila Nusa. That the people in the Beis Medrash did not stand up in front of them the way it used to be. So Amri they said, my high, what happened? Why did things change? So Amru Luhu, so the people told them, Hochi Tikkun Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is based on the Takana that Rav Shimon Gamliel instituted. So Amr Le Rav Meir, Rav Nosson. So Rav Meir told Rav Nosson, Ano Chocham. I till now have the position of the Chacham. But at Avbezin, and you are the Avbezin, Naskin Nusa, let us go do something in retaliation against Rav Shimon Gamliel, kill the Dom, just like what he did against us, that he changed now the procedure, and because of that, the people are not standing up for us the way they used to, so let us go retaliate against Rav Shimon Gamliel. My Nevedle, what should we do to him? So Meir said, name away Gali Uktim. Let us go invite him to say a shir in the Sechet Uktim, the Lesle. And if that is something that he is not so versed in, the Kivon de Legomar, and then when he will not be able to deliver the shir, name away, we will tell him a pasuk in Tehillim. Mi Yimaleel Gvuras Hashem. Who can recount the greatness of Hashem? Yashmiya Kol Tilosai. Can tell over all the praises of Hashem. And Chazal Darshan on that pasuk. Lemi No Lemaleel Gvuras Hashem. Who is appropriate to say over the greatness of Hashem? Mi Sheyochol Yashmiya Kol Tilosai. Only someone who can say over all his praises. So too, they would be telling Rav Shimon Gamliel, who can be the one that's in charge? Who can be the Nasi? Only someone that can deliver Shiurim in all areas of the Torah. So now, Reza, will we remove him from his position as Nasi? So Meir said, I will become the Avdezin. So ask Nasi, and you will be elevated to the position of Nasi. So Shamina Rav Yaakov ben Karshi. Rav Yaakov ben Karshi overheard this plot. Omar, he said, Dilma Chas V'Sholom, maybe God forbid, Asya Nufu De Kisufa, will come out of disgrace. So Ozal Yosef Achayre Elise Rav Shimon Gamliel, he went and he sat behind the office of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Poshat, he began explaining Mesechta Uchtin, Gorat V'Tona, Gorat V'Tona, and he repeated it again and again. Rav Shimon Gamliel overheard someone learning Mesechta Uchtin outside his room. Omar Maide Kamo, what is this in front of me? Dilma Chas V'Sholom, he could be Midrash Amidi. Maybe something has happened in the Beis Medrash. The Yoyev Daite, he paid attention, the Girsa, and he learned in the Sechta Uchtin. But Mocha the next day, Omru Leith Rameir and Rav Nosson told Rav Shimon Gamliel, Nesei Marvin Nesnei Bu Uchtin. They invited him to come say a shir in the Sechta Uchtin, the Posach V'Omar. So he began, and he said the shir. Bosar Zu'ukim, when he finished, Omar Lahu, he told him, if I would not have learned Mesechta Uktzin, Kasi Fitnan, you would have embarrassed me. So Pocket, he gave instructions about Kinumi Beibid Rasha. They threw Rav Meir and Rav Nosson out of the Beis Medrash. But it was sitting outside the Beis Medrash, Havi Kasvi Kushaisa of the Piska. They would write down questions on slips of paper, Vishadu Hossam, and they would throw it into the Beis Medrash. The Havi Mifrik Mifrik. What could be answered by the people in the Beis Medrash? They answered. The Roy Havi Mifrig, but what couldn't be answered, the Kasvi Beruke, they would then write the answers to the Shadu and throw it into the Beis Medrash. The Omaluhu Rabbi Yaisi. The Rabbi Yaisi said, Torah mi bechut, the Torah is outside, for Anu mi mitznim, and we are inside. Either they should come into us, or if not, we are going to go out to them. The Omalin Rav Shimon Gamliel Nailinu. Rav Shimon Gamliel gave in, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said, let Rav Meir and Rav Nosson come into the Beis Medrash. Miu Niknesinu, but we are going to punish them. What's the punishment? The way Neinu Shmaito Mishmayu, because none of their teachings will now be set over in their name. Asikul Rav Meir Acherim. They called Rav Meir Acherim, and any statement that Rav Meir would now make would be brought in charge, not in the name of Rav Meir, but in the name of Acherim others. And Ul Rav Nosson Yeshayimim. And Rav Nosson was given the title Yeshayimim, and any member of Rav Nosson would be called Yeshayimim. The Be'er Sheva explains that the name Acherim was given to Rav Meir, which is a more disgraceful one than Yesh Oimrim, which was given to Rav Nosson, because Rav Meir was the one who instituted the plan. But then the Be'er Sheva asks a question, that we find various places in Gemara that there's a machoikis between Rav Meir and Acherim. That would indicate that Rav Meir was not Acherim. For an example, in the first parak of Brachos, we have a machoikis between Rav Meir and Acherim, from when can we read Kriyishma in the morning? The Be'er Sheva answers that all those statements that had already been made by Rav Meir and Rav Nosson before this incident, so that they left in Shas in the name of Rav Meir and Rav Nosson explicitly. It was only now, from here on, that if they would make a statement, now Rav Meir's statement would be called Acherim, and Rav Nosson would be called Yeshayimim. Ach vilu b'chalmayu, they were shown in the dream, that zivu paisu Rav Shem Gamliel, that they should go and ask mechila Rav Shem Gamliel. Rav Nosson ozal, Rav Nosson went, Rav Meir lo yozal. Rav Meir, however, refused to go. Omar, he says, divrei chalomos loy mailin loy remiridin. Something that's seen in a dream has no significance, and therefore he would not go and be Messiah of Shem Gamliel. Ki all the Rav Nosson, when Rav Nosson went, Omle Rav Shem Gamliel, Rav Shem Gamliel gave him some mussar, and he told him, Nehi dahani loch kamra da'avuch lemehevi avbezdin. A kamra literally means a golden belt. But he was telling him that the honorable status of your father helped you to become the Abezin. But Shadinuch Nami Nasi, would it also make you into a Nasi? In other words, why did you want to become the Nasi? This was the Musa given by Rav Shimon Gamliel to Rav Nosson. Masni Le Rebbe, the Rav Shimon Bray. The Rebbe, who was the son of Rav Shimon Gamliel, taught Rav Shimon his son, and this din that he taught him was concerning Meister Behema. The Torah tells us that if a person has 10 animals, so one out of each 10 must be brought as a korban, and that's called Maaser Behema. The way it was done, there was 10 animals were put into a corral, they walked out one by one through the doorway, and the 10th one would be marked as Maaser. And the Mishnah in the last Perek of Bechayres brings a case where a person got confused. And what happened was as follows, that as the 9th animal passed in, he mistakenly called it the 10th. Then, as the next animal left the pen, he realized his mistake, and tried to compensate by calling the 10th animal the 9th. Then, forgetting the reason that he called the last animal the 9th, he resumed counting as usual from 9, and labeled the 11th animal as the 10th. So what do we have a case? We have a case where he called the 9th one 10, he called the 10th one 9, and he called the 11th one 10. So the Mishnah Bechayit says that all three have some level of Kedusha. Now we are concerning ourselves with the 11th one. It says in the Mishnah that the 11th one which came out, which he mistakenly called 10, it says that the sheet of Rav Meir is, Achad also Korev Shlomim, the 11th one is brought as a Korban Shlomim, and this is derived from Sukkim in the Sechta V'chayres, the Oysa Tzmura, and it in itself can also make a Tzmura. There is a halacha in the Torah that a Korban, one can transfer the Kedusha from one carbon to another carbon. The Torah said it's osur to do so. There's a law against making a tzmura. However, if a person did do so, the original carbon remains a carbon, and the one that he attempted to transfer also becomes a carbon, and it's brought on the Mizbeah. So Rav Meir went to say that this 11th one is a complete shlomim, v'aisa tzmura, and it can even make a tzmura, and the tzmura is brought as a carbon. The Mishnah over there brought that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with Rav Meir. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Chiyesh Tzmura, Oysa Tzmura, because the rule is that a Behema which became Kadosh as a result of being a Tzmura cannot in turn produce another Tzmura. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that this 11th animal, even though we're going to give it a din of a Shlomim, but it has the din of a Tzmura and therefore cannot make another Tzmura. Because he holds that when a person designates the 11th animal as the Maaser Behema, he is in effect saying, let this animal be the Maaser instead of the 10th. So according to Yehuda then, the 11th animal, which has Kedusha, but it has Kedusha in the form of Tzmura. And therefore Yehuda had claimed to Rav Meir, V'chiyesh Tzmura, Oysa Tzmura. So So we have in our Gemara that Rebbe was now teaching Rabbi Shimon his son. What was the answer to Rabbi Yehuda's taina? And he said, "Acherim oimrim." The Acherim say, "Ihu haya tumura lo haya krav." That if it would have been a tumura, it wouldn't be brought as a carbon, because Rav Meir holds that the kedusha of the 11th animal is not a form of tumura, and that therefore there's no reason why it should not be able to make another tumura. Rav Meir was coming to prove his opinion in the following way: although a meiser behema can create a tumura, but there is an exception to all other korbanos. A tumura which is made through a meiser is not brought on the mizbeach. All other tumurais, any korban, a chatos, an oil shlomim, that a person makes a tumura, so the tumura, the second animal, becomes kadosh, and it can be brought as a korban. Meiser behema is an exception. It makes a tumura, it has kedusha, but can it be brought on the mizbeach? So therefore, Acherim said, v'ch'ilu haya tumura, if you're going to consider the 11th animal as a tumura, so then l'haya krav, then the 11th animal couldn't be brought on the mizbeach. And since we know that the 11th animal is being brought on the mizbeach, so therefore it doesn't have the status of a tumura. It has the status of its own independent kedusha, and therefore it in turn can make a tumura. So this is what Rebbe taught Rabbi Shimon his son, but he said it over in the name of Acherim. So Amalai, so Rabbi Shimon asked his father, Mihem halalu, who are these people? Shemei meyam anu shoysim, we drink their waters. In other words, we learn their Torah, baru shmoysim einon amaskirim. But we do not say over their name. So Amalai, the Rebbe answered, Bnei Yodam, they are people, shebikshu lakor kvoitcha, they wanted to uproot your honor, ukvoit beis avicha, and the honor of your father's house. The Marshal points out that when Rabbi Shimon asked his father, who are these people that we drink their waters, he certainly knew that it was Rav Meir. He knew that in a statement that said over in the name of Acherim is Rav Meir. And he also knew the reason why Rav Meir's name was mentioned. But Rav Shimon was coming to tell his father that it is not appropriate that we should hide their names since we are learning the Torah. So on this, Rebbe answered, yes, you are correct, we could agree with you. But you are not the one to seek to restore Rav Meir's name. Because since our family was the object of Rav Meir's intent to uproot the Kavod, therefore you are not the one to seek Rav Meir's being restored and his name being mentioned. So Rav Shimon answered his father, Amalei, he told him over a pasuk in Kehelas test. And the pasuk says, Gam avosam, also their love, Gam sinosam, their hate, Gam kinosam, their jealousy, kvar avda, has already passed away. Once a person dies, all these things are forgotten, and therefore we should not continue. So Amalei, the Rebbe answered with a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Ha'oyev tamu, charova is lanetzach. Even though their enemy is gone, but their swords remain forever. So Amalei, Rabbi Shimon persisted and said, Hani mili, when does it have to continue, even after the enemy is gone? Heichod ahani masayu. If the enemy accomplished with their evil intentions, so then it's charova is lanetzach. But Rabbanon, these people, Rav Meir and Rav Moson, lo yahanu masayu, they did not accomplish anything. It was only an intention. They wanted to uproot the kavod, but l'maisa, nothing came out, and therefore now we should be able to restore Rav Meir's name. The Be'er Sheva says that when Rav Shimon told his father the pasuk, why didn't he explicitly tell him he disagrees with him? Because that's a din of kibbutz, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that if a person sees his father doing something wrong, he's not supposed to explicitly tell him and correct him. Rather, he's supposed to ask him, supposed to show him the halacha, and with that his father would understand. So therefore, Rav Shimon was sort of asking Rebbe, shouldn't we apply this pasuk in Kehelas? And with that, Rebbe would understand that Rav Shimon holds that this is not the proper way. So the Gemara continues and says, Hodar, that Rebbe changed his mind, and Asni Leia, now he said over the halacha, Amru Mishum Rav Meir, that they said in the name of Rav Meir, Ilu Hayat Tumur Lo Hayat Krav. He changed from attributing the statement to Acherim and said it over in the name of Rav Meir. On this, the Be'er Sheva points out that even though it says in the first parak of Yuma, Kol Talmud Chacham She'ena Noikim V'Noiter K'Nochosh Einoi Talmud Chacham, that any Talmud Chacham who does not take up for his honor, and that we're not talking about the honor of the Talmud Chacham itself, but it's talking about the honor of the Torah, a Talmud Chacham is mechuyev to take up for the honor of the Torah. And the Be'er Sheva says that from the Gemara there, it's mashma, that if a Talmud Chacham would forgive someone who offended him before the person asked mechila, the Talmud Chacham is punished. So why was Rebbe Moichu Rameir? The Rebbe Shavayin says, that is only when a person actually insulted a Talmud Chacham. He actually was Mavaza the Torah. So then the Talmud Chacham is Mechuyev to take revenge. And he should not give Mechila until there's a pius done. However, Ramey and Rav Nosson never actually embarrassed the Torah. It was only their intention to be Mavaza the Nosi. But nothing came out. And therefore, Rebbe changed his mind, and Rebbe was Moichu Rameir. But Omar Rava, but Rava points out, still there was not a complete Mechila. Because Afilu Rebbe, Da'an Vasanohu, because even Rebbe, who was known for his great modesty, Tana, what did he teach? Amru Mishum Rameir. He taught that they said in the name of Rav Meir. That's how he said over the statement. But Amr Rav Meir, but to directly say the way it's usually done, that Rav Meir said, Lo Yoma, that Rebbe didn't teach. Because there was not a complete mechila, not a complete restoration of Rav Meir's name. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Pligi Bor Rav Shimon Gamliel V'Rabbana. Rabbi Yechanan said, we have a machloikas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbana. Chad Omar Sinai Yodif. One says, Sinai is more important. V'chad Omar Oikir Harim Odif. And one said that the Oikir Harim is more important. What is Sinai and Oikir Harim? The Sinai is someone who knows all the material contained in the Mishnah and the Braisa. He's called Sinai because it's clear to him as it was presented on Sinai. So that's the more important of the two. The other one says, no, the Oikar Harim is Adif. Oikar Harim, which literally means an uprooter of mountains, is referring to someone who does not necessarily have all the information. But with his sharp mind and powers of reasoning and deduction, he is able to come to the right conclusion. In our language, we would probably call the Sinai the Baki and the Oikar Harim the Lamdin. So which is more important? Rav Yosef Sinai. Rav Yosef was an example of someone who's a Sinai. And Rabba was an Oikar Harim. The Sholchu L'Taman, so they sent to Eretz Yisrael, Ezim Em Kredim. Which of the two are more important? The Sholchu L'Hu Sinai Odif, so they sent back that the Sinai goes first. The Omamar, HaKol Tzrichim L'Mori Chitya. Everybody needs the owners of the wheat. In other words, everybody needs Rav Yosef, the one who has all the information, the one who has clearly arranged the Mishnayos and the Braises, and it's to him as clear as it was given in HaSinai. So everyone needs such a person that he could provide everyone else with all the information. So he's on top. And the conclusion would be that Rabbi Yosef should be appointed the Rosh HaYeshiva. However, Afilu Hochi like Kibbul Rabbi Yosef away. But still, Rabbi Yosef declined the appointment. And instead, Rabba became the Rosh HaYeshiva. Molach Rabba Esrin Vitate Shnim. Rabba was the Rosh for 22 years. The Hodar Molach Rabbi Yosef. And after Rabba died, then Rabbi Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva. V'chol shnei de molach rabba. And all the years that Rabba was the Rosh, Rabbi Yosef afilu umna lebeis aleicholof. Rabbi Yosef did not call the doctor. In those days, the doctor was the one who let blood make his dam. So he did not come to Rabbi Yosef's house. Now what's the maila of the doctor not coming to Rabbi Yosef's house? So we find various pshatim. Rashi learns that as long as Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yosef wanted to make sure to avoid any sign of importance. He totally deferred to Rabba. And when he needed a doctor to be Makers Dam, he did not call the doctor to his house, rather to the house of Rabba, where he spent most of his time taking care of Rabba. The Tosafot of the Rosh brings another pshat, and he says that usually people go to the doctor's office. The important people, however, they have the doctor come to them. Rabbi Yosef was so careful to avoid any show of being important that he would not ask the doctor to come to him, but rather he went to the office like everyone else. The Be'er Sheva quotes a pshat from the Ramah that since Rabbi Yosef humbled himself and deferred to Rabba, and even though they said that Sinai Yodif, but he did not take the position, and he allowed Rabba to become the Rosh, so he was such a Madrega of Anova that in that merit, he never was sick and did not need the doctor. So the reason the doctor came to his house is because his Hanover protected him forever needing the doctor. On this last pshat of the Ramah, the Be'er Sheva points out that the implication of the Ramah is that the reason Rabbi Yosef declined the position and did not become the Rosh Hashiva was because of his modesty. But he says that from the Gemara and Brachos, it's explicit not like that. Because the Gemara and Brachos tells us that the reason Rabbi Yosef did not take the position, even though it was offered to him, because Sinai Yodif, because a stargazer told Rabbi Yosef that he would only be the Rosh Hashiva for 2 years. So if he would have taken the position immediately, that means that he would have only lived for another 2 years. So therefore, he put it off, allowing Rabbah to become the Rosh. Rabbah was the Rosh for 22 years, and only after Rabbah's Patira, then Rabbi Yosef took the position, and he lived another 2 years. So the reason he did not take a position, because with that he extended his life. Here's the Gemara, Abaya, Verovo, Verab Zera, Verabba, Bar Masna, Vyasi. All these Amoroyim were sitting, Bahavi Trichi Resha. They needed someone to lead. Now the Tosfos of Rosh learned that they needed someone to lead that particular discussion, that they would ask and he would answer. They were actually all Chachomim, and they were all really Roy to be the leader. But they needed to pick one of them, so they devised a way of choosing which one would do it. The Be'er Sheva learns that they needed a Rosh Hashiva. That was talking about, it was after the death of Rav Yosef, so they were seeking to appoint a new Rosh Hashiva. So what would they do? How would they choose? So Amri, they said, "Kol d'amar milsav le'mifrech." Whoever will say something and we won't be able to refute him, lehevi reisha, he will become the Rosh Hashiva. The Kulu Ifrach, all of them attempted to say something, but the others had kashas. The Abayi le'yifrech. However, Abayi was the only one who said something, le'yifrech. No one was able to refute it. So Chazia Rabba Labaya the Govoresha. So Rabba, or as it says in the Shurat HaShas, Rabba demonstrated to Abaya that he should lift up his head. In other words, he should become the Rosh Hashiva. And Amalei, he told him, Nachmeini Psach Ve'emo. Nachmeini, which was the name that they used to refer to Abaya, Nachmeini Psach Ve'emo, begin saying the Shir. And the Mashor explains that even though Abaya had met the agreed upon criteria to become the Rosh Hashiva, he was still hesitant about taking the post until Rabba urged him to do so. The Gemara concludes the Masechta with a Shaila, Iboiluhu Rab Zeira v'Rabba Barav Masna. If we would have these two people, Rab Zeira, Rabba Barav Masna, Heiminayu Odif, which one is better, which one comes first? Do we say Rab Zeira comes first? Why? Because Chorofu Maksha, he was very sharp and quick, and was able to debate an issue, asking and answering, thereby arriving at the correct conclusion. What do we say? Rabba Barav Masna, he is Adif. Why? Because Muslim Umasik. He was not so sharp, but he was Muslim. He was very deliberate and thorough in his analysis, which allowed him to reach the correct conclusion. So my, which one is Adif? On this, the Gemara says, Teiku, the question remains unresolved. Hajun Allah Kayim Mashiach Uslik Allah Mesechus Harius. Let us go back now and elaborate on some of the dvarim that we mentioned in the previous year. On Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara talked about the dvarim that are kosher l'shikcha, that are not good for a person's memory. We mentioned in that year about the kuntras written called Sefer Zikaron, Rav Chaim Kanevsky Shlita, in which he brings all the items mentioned in Shas that first of all are good for a person's memory, and then those that are mentioned in Shas which are kosher l'shikcha. And he discusses each one individually, bringing various Mara Mekoymais. And I'd like to point out some of the things he says on some of the items in the list that are relevant to us. We'll take first of all that which the Gemara said, Harogu Bezeisen. If someone is accustomed, frequently eats olives, it's kosher l'shikha. So he asks, that there's a Gemara in Brachas that says, and Daf Lamed Ches on the days, Omer Abchi Barabo, Aniri Isis Rabbi Yechanan, She'ochal Zayis Meliach. That I saw Rabbi Yochanan that ate a salted olive. And also there's a Gemara Yevamis and various other Gemaras that bring that Amoroyim ate Zeisim. How could it be? Either Gemara says that it's not good for a person's memory. It's kosher l'shikha. Rav Chaim answers that the Gemara says it's only harogel lecha. It's only someone who frequently eats an olive. However, if someone would eat an olive not frequently, sometimes he happens to eat an olive, that's not kosher l'shikha. What is the shear of rogil? What's considered a person is accustomed to eating it? So he says, perhaps we can learn from the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, HaRogel Ba'adashim Achas L'Shloshim Yoyim. Over there, the Gemara is talking about someone who eats lentils. And the Lashon of the Gemara is, HaRogel Ba'adashim, he frequently eats Adashim. What's that called? Once every 30 days. And so too, the Gemara over there says, HaRogel B'chardel Achas L'Shloshim Yoyim. So from that Gemara would be mashma that what's considered rogel, once every 30 days is considered rogel. If a person would eat an olive less than once every 30 days, so then that's considered lefrokim, and that would not be kosher l'shikha. He brings that Rabbi Yankiv Emden in his Hagos on the Gemara, and also in the Sefer Morak Tzia,
was mechadesh, that the only time Chazal say an olive is kosher l'shikcha, that's if a person eats plain regular olive, but not if he eats them salted or preserved or cooked. And where does Rabbi Yaakov Emden know this from? So he says he knows it from this Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan ate a zayis maliach. How could he have done so? It's kosher l'shikcha. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, it's because it was maliach, since it was salted, so therefore it takes away its ability to cause somebody to forget. However, Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky says that he doesn't understand the kasha, because since the Algemar says the Feirish is only rogul b'zeisim, and there Rabbi Yochanan ate one time, and he brings that to Me'iri over here in Ha'iriya, he says the Feirish, that zeisim meluchim ash kosher l'shikcha, that a salted olive is kosher l'shikcha, which is a refutation of what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. And so too he brings the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Vayishlach, that the Rabbeinu Bechaya says that it's the nature of an aleph, it's the very nature of this kind of fruit that's kosher l'shikcha, and if it wouldn't make a difference if it's salted or cooked, but it's the aleph itself, it's this species of fruit which is kosher l'shikcha. So therefore his teretz, Reb Chaim's teretz, is that it has to do with rogel and prokin. Let's go on to another one. Mara talks about how reichit raglov zuo gabizu, if someone washes his feet one on top of the other, brings that the achronim yef kikasha, that the gemorin zvachin and yutesim edeiz brings the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that the mitzvah of kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, that we know that a kohen, before he did the avodah, he was mekadosh yadayim v'raglayim, he washed his feet and his hands from the kiyor. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda learns that he put shtei raglav zu al gabizu, he put one foot on top of the other, and that's how he washed his feet from the kiyor. The question is, if kosher l'shikcha. So he answers Rabbi Chaim, that since kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is learned from a pasuk, and that's the mitzvah, so the Torah was mechaya, the kohen, to wash his feet in that way. So then it's not going to cause him any damage, because of a rule that we have, shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovera, that someone who's doing a mitzvah cannot get damaged as a result of doing the mitzvah. Therefore, kiddush yadayim raglayim, doing it that way is not going to be kosher l'shikcha. Al Gemara just talking about it, if someone washes his feet plain, that's kosher l'shikcha. Then the Gemara said, ha-miniach keilov tachas min ha-shoysov. If someone puts his clothing under his head and uses them as a pillow, so that's kosher l'shikcha. Be'er Sheva asks a kasha, that the Mishnah in Tomit, and it's brought in the Gemara in Yuma, and that Samach Tesamar Aleph says, that the Kohanim, when they used to lay down, they used to take the Big Day Kahuna, fold them up, u'meinichon oison tachas reshein, and they would put it underneath their head. Now the Gemara in Yuma actually is maskana is, that not that they put it under the head, but they put it next to the head. But the Gemara in Yuma only says that as a result of its question that the Big Day Kahuna were klayim with shatnez. But mashma from the Gemara, that without the problem that the Big Day Kahuna was shatnez, the Gemara would have learned up Parshav Shat in the Mishnah, Tachas Rashem means that they put it under the head. The question is, how could there be such a havamina that they put it under the head? It's kosher l'shikcha. So the Mogen Giboyrim, in his Perish and Orach Chaim Sinan Beis, and we mentioned this in the previous year that the Mishnah Brura talked out this Magen Gibayim, that if there's something else which separates the clothing and the person's head, that would not be kosher l'shikcha. And by the Kohanim, we could learn that there was something else there in between the Begadim and his head. However, Rav Chaim Kanevsky says that from the Lashon of the Gemara in Yuma and in Tomid, it doesn't seem like that. Because this is the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says that E Solko Daitoch Tachas Rishayen, that if you're going to learn that they put the clothing underneath their head, the tape of Glamishim Klayim, isn't there a problem that the Big Day Kahuna was Shatnez? So while the Kohen is wearing them for the Avoidah, there's no problem of Shatnez. But to take them and use them as a pillow, it should be a problem of Klayim. The Chi Tame or the Mapsik Midi Bene Bene, and maybe you're going to say that there's something else which separates in between, but the Gemara goes on to discuss that. But it's mashma from the Lashon of the Gemara that at the beginning the Gemara learned that there is nothing which separates in between. But the Moshe says, the Chitema, maybe you're going to offer such a pshat that it's mafsik midi meini meini. So it's mashma from the Gemara that the pshutai, the Kohanim, put the clothing down without something in between. So it comes back to Kasha, I is kosher l'shikcha. So in the Sefer Salmas Chaim, which is the Tshuva Sefer from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Zichrono Livracha, Chelek Aleph Simen Yud, he answers this Kasha, that it's dafki berogil. When do we say that putting begodim under the head is kosher l'shikcha? That's only if you do it frequently. But if you don't do it frequently, that's not kosher l'shikcha. Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, that's very schwer.
because by Zaysim, the Gemara said Rogil Bezayas, and it was very careful to speak out Rogil. So there we understand that it's only if it's Rogil. But by the Begodim, since it doesn't say Rogil, it's Mashma that it's not like Zaysim. And here, no matter, even if a person does it one time, it's also Kashul Shikha. Rabbi Yosef Chaim, in the Psalmist Chaim, says another teretz, that it's only when a person puts his own Begodim that it's Kashul Shikha. But the Big Day Kahuna, which are Kodesh, they're not considered his Begodim. And Mimela Rabbi Yosef Chaim is Mechadesh, that if someone would wear someone else's clothing and then put those clothing underneath his head, that I would be Mutter. Rabbi Chaim Kinevsky himself answers the Kasha, that since why were the Kohanim putting the Big Day Kahuna underneath the head? It was to protect the Big Day Kahuna. So that was a mitzvah. So again, we can apply the rule of Shayim Mitzvah Lo Yedid Avara. And that's why it would not be Kosh L'Shikha. More than that, we can say that in the Beit HaMikdash, nothing was mazik. And therefore, since they were doing it in the Beit HaMikdash, therefore it was not Kosh L'Shikha. He adds an interesting halacha, that if someone goes to sleep by putting his head down on his hands, his head down on his arm, so even though on his arm he has a sleeve of his jacket, a sleeve of his shirt, so would that be a problem of Begodim Tachas Roishos? He says no. He says, because while a person is wearing the beged is bottled to the body. And that's mutter. When is it a problem of kosher l'shikha? Is when a person takes off his clothing and puts it underneath his head. Then the Gemara had said that if a person walks between two women, or a woman walks between two men, it's kosher l'shikha. Again, here he quotes from the Tshuva Salmas Chaim, this is in Chelek Beis Simen Lamed Hei, that it's only when he walks in between two women that are standing still, or a woman walks between two men that are standing. But if all of them are walking, derech hiluchom, there is no peder. That is not kosher l'shikha. Reb Chaim Kinevsky writes that he heard that the Chazon Ish was very makbid not to walk between two women and not to let a woman walk between two men. Perhaps he is, though, that by a ketana, one does not have to be makbid. By a girl that's below the age of bas mitzvah, that is not kosher l'shikha. He brings that in the Sefer Shmiras HaNefesh. It quotes from a sefer that if a person has to walk in between two women, he should take something in his hand, either a stick or even something smaller than that, and that will protect him from the kosher l'shikha. And the last one we're going to discuss is that which the Gemara had said, HaKoyrei Ksav Sh'al HaKever. If someone reads the inscription on a matzeva, it's kosher l'shikha. He says that in the Sfarim it brings B'Shem Darizal, that is only with a ksav that protrudes. However, a ksav that's inscribed into the matzeva, that would not be kosher l'shikha. And he brings from Sfarim that which people are noyek, to put a stone on top of a matzeva when they visit a kever, the reason for the stone is because the placing of the stone is a protection, and it stops the reading of the matzeva from being kosher l'shikha. He says that if it's a kabbalah, we have to accept it. Perhaps, he says, we should combine these two things, that if the ksav is only inscribed, and a person would put a stone on top of the keder, so the two together, a person for sure can be someh, and even though he reads what's inscribed there, it would not be kosher l'shikha. He brings the following shaila, that when it says in the Gemara, HaKoyrei Ksav Shal HaKever, does koyrei mean dafka if he speaks it out with his mouth? Or even if he reads it without enunciating the words, it would also be kosher l'shikha. He says, even though the word koyrei in many places means dafka b'piv, koyrei means he reads it with his mouth, but perhaps over here in this context, koyrei means even if he looks at it. And we do find places where the word koyrei is used just for reading something, even though he does not enunciate it. For example, we have in the first parak of Shabbos, it says, lo yikra l'or haner, is halacha in Shabbos that a person is not allowed to read by the light of a candle, because perhaps he will adjust the candle and violate halacha of Shabbos. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, that even if someone doesn't enunciate the words, but he only reads it, he reads it with his eyes, that's also asur. And so too on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, also likrois v'tayra. And in Shulchan Aruch it says, b'feirish, that not only if someone reads the words, but also if someone is maharer, if someone reads it with his eyes and thinks about the words, it's also violating the issur of also likrois v'tayra. So therefore, he remains with a shayla, what's the din if someone just looks at a matzeva, is that going to be kosher l'shikha? Concerning the Gemara on the bottom of Yud-Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara brought the episode with the controversy between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Meir and Rav Nosson, so the Sefer Ben Yoyada gives us some additional insights in understanding this story. First of all, he says that when the Gemara told us that Reb Meir was the Chacham and Reb Nosson was the Av Bezdin, what does it mean that Reb Meir was the Chacham? So he says a Chacham is the title given to the Rosh Hashiva. As we find in a different Gemara, that when Rebbe passed away, Rebbe left the Tavor, that Reb Chanina Bar Choma should be Yeshev Beroish, which means that he should be the Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva, the Chacham, was on a higher level than the Av Bezdin. And Rav Meir's intention, when Rav Meir stood up for their honor, was nothing to do with his own kavod. Rav Meir certainly was not seeking himself to be a recipient of kavod. Rather, Rav Meir was coming to strengthen the honor of Talmidei Chachamim in general. And he was afraid that the Nesiim would exert undue pressure and undue authority over the Talmidei Chachamim, and that would harm the prestige and the kavod of Chachamim in general. And therefore, Rav Meir felt that he has to stand up for the Kavod HaTorah. As we see that when Rav Meir suggested to Rav Nosson that they push out Rav Shimon Gamliel, he didn't say that he himself should become the Nasi. He said Rav Nosson should be the Nasi, even though he was the Chacham and was in a higher position than Rav Nosson. And we can hear to the Ben Yoyada that Rav Meir himself said he should become the Av Bezdin, which is going down in level from the Chacham to the Av Bezdin. So this clearly demonstrates that Rav Meir was not seeking his own covet, but rather to protect the kavod of Talmidei Chachamim. Continues the Ben Yoyada, that if Rav Shimon Gamliel would have come and consulted with them, could be they would have been maskim. But this was difficult to them. This they could not tolerate, that Rav Shimon Gamliel put a takana which was lessening their kavod, and he didn't even come to consult them. What's Taka Pshat and Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Ben Yoyada explains that the Shimon Gamliel, we could be malamed tzchus, that the reason he didn't come to ask them is because he felt that it was not kavod to come ask them themselves to agree to a takana which would lessen their kavod, and therefore he did it without asking them. Continues the Ben Yoyada and says that even when a mayor suggested that you become the Nasi and I become the Av Bezdin, it wasn't their intention that they should take away Rav Shimon Gamliel completely from his post and that they should remain permanently in these new positions, but it was only that temporarily they should install themselves, and they would be able to rectify the situation and put in a different takana which would restore the kavod of the Talmidei Chachamim. And after the thing would be rectified, then they would return the office of the Nesius of Shimon Gamliel, and they would go back to the original position. That which it said in the dream, that they should go be Mephias of Shimon Gamliel, even though, as we're clearly now explaining, their kavana, their intention was purely l'shem shemayim, but still there was a chet, because since they did it in such a way that it could come out an embarrassment, a humiliation of Rav Shimon Gamliel, so this was considered for them an aveira, and therefore it came in the dream that they have to go ask mechila of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Meir, however, held that even though he recognized that he did something wrong, but he felt that he had a kapara because he already suffered a terrible embarrassment that he was thrown out of the Beis Medrash. And that embarrassment that he suffered should be considered for him an atonement even though he doesn't actually go ask Mechila of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And we must understand that the Chalayim didn't explicitly say go ask Mechila. The Gemara's Lashon was Achsula, that within a hint, Bederach Remez, the Chalayim revealed to them that there was an Indian of asking Pius. However, it may have felt that the busha that he suffered already replaces his necessity of being Messiah of Shimon Gamliel. Continues the Ben Yoyada, and then the Gemara says, Asikulei l'Rav Meir Acherim, that when they punished Rav Meir, they gave him the name Acherim. So he says that it was Min HaShemayim they put into the mind of Rav Shimon Gamliel to give him this name, because this name is a very big praise for a mayor. Because in this name, Acherim, first of all, we have his name. The letters of Meir are there, the Mem, Aleph, Yud, Resh, plus the letter Ches. And the letter Ches stands for the fact that he was a Chacham. So we have in the name of Acherim, we have his name, plus an additional Ches, signifying the Ma'il of Rav Meir, that Rav Meir was a Chacham. And that's why the Gemara uses the Lashon, Asikulei l'Rav Meir Acherim. The word Asiku means lifted up. So he says, for a mayor, that this was an elevation, that the name of mayor was changed to Acherim, which praises our mayor. More than that, he says that the gematria of the word Acherim equals Yad Rama, a high hand. In other words, praising our mayor,
that a mayor used a strong hand in the fight for Torah, which is a praise from a mayor. And that which the Gemara says later, that Rebbe told his son, even though their kavana was not to uproot the honor of Rav Shimon Gamliel, as we explained, it was only to temporarily remove Rav Shimon Gamliel from office, but eventually they would have restored him to office. So why did Rebbe accuse them of Dikshu Lakor? But the pshat is, because to the perception of people, when people saw the story, they saw in Rav Meir's actions that Rav Meir was coming to uproot the entire honor of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel was very machted about what Rav Meir had done, and he changed his name in order to publicize and to make clear that no one else should attempt to attack the authority of the Nesiyot.